Hey church, welcome to the All Regions stream. I trust that you guys are having a great time in worship together so far today. I just want to pass along two important announcements for you for this week. The first is that Christmas Eve is coming soon, and as many of you know, we are going to have a church family hangout on Christmas Eve, Friday, December 24th. Starting at 12:30 p.m. at Westdale United Church in Hamilton. And it's gonna be a great time, potluck lunch. We're gonna worship Jesus with some Christmas carols. We're gonna reflect on the Christmas story and just hang out together. So 12:30 to 2:30. We would love for you to be there. If you're able to be there, please sign up on Engage for that to let us know how many people to expect. But also, we're gonna pass along any communication and instructions right there in that event chat on Engage. So be sure to sign up. Even pull out your phone and do that right now as I'm talking. That'd be awesome. Looking forward to Christmas Eve together. Secondly, really exciting to announce that we are going to be taking a special missions trip to Montreal, evangelism trip to Montreal this winter, February 19th to 23rd over the reading week, and spending some time on the campus at McGill, learning about the campus, but also doing some intensive evangelism training. So if you are someone who's interested in cross-cultural evangelism, and or if you speak French and you're interested in this trip, I encourage you guys to sign up on engage.liftchurch.ca or speak to Dan Lupo or Nicole Haverkamp. They'd be happy to let you know more about that very exciting evangelism trip coming up in February. All right, now those are our announcements. Really quickly though, wanted to let you know about a couple of upcoming dates that are really important. So next Sunday, December 19th, is our last gatherings for 2021. Be a special kind of Christmas hangout afterwards for all of our different regions as well. December 26th, Boxing Day, there'll be no gathering and no All Regions stream, but then we will be back on Sunday, January 2nd. So make sure you plan around that. Sunday, January 2nd, we will be back to gatherings, to All Regions stream. Looking forward to worshiping together again to kick off the new year on that date. Now, with that said, those announcements and reminders, we have a really amazing video, two stories of baptism, journeying with Jesus from Paris and from Adrian today. Many of you will have seen this at Gala, but it's just so incredible that we wanted everyone to see it today. So without further ado, here are their stories.
Come university, I definitely struggled a lot. Coming into university, I was a very studious person. I was a very outgoing person, very involved person in my school. And coming to university, I did a full 180. I stopped worrying about school. I would not go to class. I would not go out and meet people, not get involved in any school activities. I surrounded myself with a environment that was not particularly healthy for me. I started smoking weed on a daily basis all throughout my second through fourth year. I smoked cigarettes, I just remember waking up every day with just stress in my mind.
So my parents sent me to a Catholic school in kindergarten just out of convenience. And then a similar thing happened with a couple years of my elementary schooling. So that's where I kind of started getting to know about God, but I didn't actually know him personally. And then when we moved to London, Ontario, my parents were invited to church, so we started going together as a family. But again, it was more of a social event for our family, and I didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus at all.
I was introduced to Lift Church through a great friend of mine, Annie George. She brought me to that church one day, told me that she was going to this church, and invited me to it. I just said, why not? And I attended, and initially I just remember feeling a little awkward. Going into church after probably I haven't been in 10 years. I was pushed to join Jeremy's Simple Church. Those guys there truly taught me a lot, and I was only got to be present with them for a few months, and it was all online during COVID, and it was honestly one of the biggest blessings, and it really brought me back to my faith.
Coming to university after joining Lift, I joined Ava's Simple Church, and I think that's where things really started taking off because I really started learning about Christianity and how being a Christian isn't just reading your Bible or going to church, but it's rather having that personal relationship with Jesus. And Lift as a church, like, we really emphasize discipleship and making disciples and telling people about Jesus. And that's not something that I really was aware of before joining Lift, even though that is like our purpose as Christians.
They started meeting up in person. I found like it wasn't working really well for me. And he provided me a contact number for an amazing person who I love so dearly now, Ina, who is starting a church and leading at York. So I remember messaging her, and she set up a FaceTime call. And I remember our first FaceTime call, and she was so energetic, so lively, as she always is. And she's like talking about how she's been praying for like a strong male presence at York, for her to come and you know, impact that campus. And I just remember in that moment being like, whoa, I'm not that guy. I don't know about that. Like, I'm down to come, like, join and worship with you guys and come for Sunday gathering, but I don't know about me being a strong male presence there. Like, I'm still a new Christian, and to me that just sounded so intimidating, taking on any kind of responsibility or leadership role.
I think, like, when I joined a simple church, I can't pinpoint what exactly it is, but I think Ava, my simple church leader, just intentionally pouring into me and like asking about my day, about my faith, and also just like her and some of my friends from simple church, like just being there for me when I had questions, because I was like fairly new to the faith, even though I had been calling myself a Christian my whole life.
At one point, I just remember Robin stopping his message and saying, somebody's out there who is listening, I just want to say something to you. And for some reason, at that point, I just locked in, and I couldn't take my eyes off him at that point. I threw my phone to the side, and I was just ready to listen to what he had to say. And he just said that Jesus wants you, Jesus loves you, and I encourage you to get baptized. And in that moment, I felt a distinct shiver through my whole entire body. It was a feeling I've never felt before. And I was honestly in awe, and I couldn't really explain that feeling in that moment. But as I went home, I just knew that that feeling was Jesus calling me to get baptized.
Initially, I was like, nope, baptism is not for me, not yet at least. And I really felt like the best way to explain it is like a block in my heart. I just was very, very against getting baptized. But afterwards, we went and prayed as a simple church, and everyone laid hands on each other. And while they were praying for me, I literally felt this block getting removed from my heart. That is the best way to explain it. I also cried during that prayer. And I guess that was the first time I encountered the Holy Spirit, was when people from my simple church were praying for me. And as soon as they finished praying for me, I just turned to Ava and I was like, Ava, I want to get baptized. And she cried, everyone cried, and like, it was a really, really cool time that like I saw God really working through prayer and through our simple church. And it just is crazy to me how I went from like being like, no, not yet, I don't want to get baptized yet, to like, as soon as they prayed for me, God, I just felt God saying like, this is the next step, Paris, this is the next step in your faith.
All right. Well, good afternoon, church. Great to be with all of you on this Sunday afternoon. Looking forward to get into the Word. If you have a Bible, I encourage you to bring one. It's always best to follow along. I find I get distracted on my phone. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 today. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll be picking it up in verse 13 in just a moment. Now, while you head on over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, let me just frame and remind you what we've been doing these last couple weeks. We've been talking about what it looks like to be part of the church, who we are, and how we are part of the church. The first couple weeks in our time in 2 Corinthians, we were talking about how to be led, how to be led. You know, it's funny, we often talk about why church is important and, you know, how to be a leader in church, but we don't often think about how to be led or even how to belong to a church. It's sort of an odd idea, isn't it? And yet it is really important that we have a biblical basis for thinking about our role and what belonging in a church family looks like. Now, 2 Corinthians is a really powerful letter in this regard because Paul is reminding the Corinthian church who they are, where they came from, why he had the authority to speak to them, and also is going to cast a vision for where they are going. And what we're going to do today is we're going to pick up in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 a thought that Paul has, and just to kind of help you understand this passage, Paul is going to be talking specifically about what it looks like for him to celebrate or boast in the ministry that he had in the Corinthian church and invite them to see their role as the Corinthian church in the bigger picture of the kingdom of God. And so let's read together 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. We, however, will not boast beyond measure, but according to the measure of the area of ministry that God has assigned to us, which reaches even to you. For we are not overextending ourselves as if we had not reached you, since we have come to you with the gospel of Christ. We are not boasting beyond measure about other people's labors. On the contrary, we have hope that as your faith increases, our area of ministry will be greatly enlarged, so that we may preach the gospel to the regions beyond you without boasting about what has already been done in someone else's area of ministry. So let the one who boasts boast in the Lord, for it is not the one commending himself who is approved, but the Lord, but the one the Lord commends. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for this letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthian church and how applicable and helpful it is to us as a church. And so wherever we're gathered today, Lord, whether it's in Hamilton or St. Catharines or Toronto or Guelph or Mississauga or Waterloo, Lord, I pray that we as a church would hear what it is you have to say from your word today and be transformed by it. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Today I want to talk about the importance of being part of something. What Paul is going to start to unpack and what I hope to show is that the Corinthian church had lost sight of what they were a part of. They had sort of begun to wonder, well, who is this Paul character and why is he writing these difficult letters to us? And as a result, they began to look at other churches and other ministries and other leaders wondering, what are we even a part of? In the midst of the tensions and the complexity of church life, their attention and their focus had shifted off of what God had done and what God was going to do. And instead, it had turned to what God was doing elsewhere or on the problems at hand. This is going to turn out to be quite applicable for us as a church because for a lot of us that are sitting on the edges of our church, or even those of us that have been around in our church for a long time, it's easy to see what a church is right now in the current perspective that we have. So if you're new and you've just kind of jumped in the last couple of months, it's probably pretty disorienting to figure out, what is this Lift Church thing? It's hard to see the whole picture. I imagine for some of you that are jumping in at, say, a region like Waterloo, where we're meeting in a house, it's hard to see what all of Lift Church is about. Similarly, for those of us that have been around for maybe a long time, say a decade or so, it can be hard to remember where we're going and what we're all about because we've become very conscious of the challenges. And so how do we be a part of a church when we only see a limited perspective of what's a limited set of what's going on? Or how do we become part of a church when we're bogged down with the issues of the day? What Paul's going to do is he's going to invite us to celebrate what has been, to appreciate what has come before us, And then importantly, Paul is going to call us as a church, as he called the Corinthian church, to look beyond our current reality to see what God is doing and what he could do in the church. So to help us frame this question, simply put, the question I want to ask is, how do we be a part of a church? How do we be a part of a church? Well, the first thing we can look at here comes from verse 13. Paul says, "We, however, will not boast beyond measure, but according to the measure of the area of ministry that God has assigned to us, which reaches even to you." So my first thought, if you're taking notes, is the first part about being a part of a church is we need to celebrate what is. We need to celebrate what is. Paul was boasting, that is, celebrating and claiming authority of the Corinthian church because of the fact that it was there, because he brought it into being. It was under his leadership, his church planting initiatives, that the Corinthian church became a reality. And he's boasting because he's trying to remind them, guys, you exist as a church because of the work that I did to bring it into reality. And there is something beautiful happening in you, the Corinthian church. There's something worth boasting about. And Paul has the authority to boast about it, to celebrate it, because he's part of it. He was there. Paul is saying, I'm not going to boast about something over there. I'm not going to celebrate somebody else's work. I want to celebrate the fact that God is working in this church here and now. Paul's reminding the Corinthians that there is something to celebrate in them. You know, it's important that we don't boast beyond measure. What does Paul mean by that? To boast beyond measure is to boast in a fashion that we take credit for what the Lord has done. But what Paul is seeking to do in boasting within an appropriate bounds is to celebrate the fact that the Lord has done something great. Part of learning to be a part of something, a church family, a movement, a simple church, or even an organization that maybe one day you're going to work for, is to learn to appreciate what is. So often our attention in life can be pulled towards our frustrations, to see what something is not, to see its flaws, to see how it's imperfect. And our church, like every other church, is full of imperfections, flaws, and characteristics that we wish were better. But it's important that if we're going to be a part of it, that we appreciate what it is. That we appreciate the fact that there is something beautiful here. Paul was certainly frustrated with the Corinthian church. He had a great many issues that he was trying to work out, both in 1 Corinthians and in 2 Corinthians. But despite those frustrations, Paul is willing to celebrate the fact that there is something beautiful about the Corinthian church, that there's something incredible that God has done through them. I want to encourage you, to move from that place of frustration and discouragement with what is to a place of celebrating and gratitude and thankfulness for what is. And man, God has done an amazing thing in our church family. There is so much to celebrate. Today in our church family, there are disciple makers on 7 different campuses, all of which were trained and sent from within our church family. We didn't like hire some mercenaries and ship them out. No, we saw God raise up passionate followers of him who were willing to put up their hands and say, "Here I am, Lord, send me." It's amazing. Our church is in 7 cities. I can hardly believe it. There are just shy of 40 simple churches led by almost 100 people. Almost 100 people have put up their hands to say, "You know what? I'm gonna serve the campus. I'm gonna disciple someone. I'm gonna take responsibility for the Great Commission. I'm gonna take on the mantle of leadership. I'm gonna be willing to sacrifice so that I can bless somebody else." That is incredible. In our church, 100 people stepping up to either apprentice or lead simple churches. This year in our church family, as I just continue the celebration train, we deployed about 50 people who are no longer students, who put up their hands and say, you know what? I'm not a student. I'm not even like remotely connected to the university campus anymore. But I see that God is doing something great. And so I'm going to lay my life down, my hopes, my dreams, what I want, to serve others. 50 people, I can hardly imagine it. Since the beginning of the pandemic, our church has been able to see churches planted in two new cities, Mississauga and Waterloo. And just before the pandemic, we planted churches at York University and the University of Guelph. In the last 2 and a bit years, we've seen 4 new churches come, 4 new regions come out of our church. We've seen dozens of people be baptized, putting up their hands to say, I want to follow Jesus. We have served thousands, and I think even perhaps tens of thousands of meals to people in the inner city of Hamilton. You may not know this, but every week our church is serving Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday in the inner city of Hamilton, serving meals, loving people without condition, without any benefit, and with very little recognition. It is amazing. In multiple different communities, through many different means, our church is both operating a food bank as well as regularly serving people in a way that just says, hey, you're valuable and you're precious. During the pandemic, we provided groceries to, I believe it's 500 international students on a weekly basis. It was amazing. Despite tremendous restrictions, our churches remain committed to serving in the inner city as well as on our campuses. Our church has maintained just an incredible stewardship of our finances, and as a result, we're working towards purchasing a space from which we can train and send disciple makers to campuses all over. We've continued to invest into every one of our campuses by addressing like absolutely crucial mental health challenges and community needs in our campuses by providing what I think is the most one of the most basic needs in our humanity, which is community, despite it being tremendously difficult and challenging. And perhaps most importantly, our church has been faithfully preaching the gospel on 7 different campuses to thousands of people without wavering, simply because we have a confidence that Jesus is better. I mean, this is just a brief snapshot, what I wrote down in a few minutes. I didn't like do any comprehensive research on this. Just to demonstrate that there is so much to celebrate. Well, I'm not boasting without measure. I'm simply recognizing what the Lord has done and it is continuing to do in our church. Most of our simple churches are connected with non-believers who are asking questions about Jesus and journeying towards him. There is an incredible move of God happening in our church, and we need to celebrate it. We need to be grateful for it. We need to recognize it, and we need to share with others that God is doing something beautiful in Lift Church. Can I get an amen? I know it's hard to get the celebration vibes on a recording, but if I was in person, we'd be cheering. I don't know, maybe you could cheer with me. This is amazing what God is doing in our church. Is our church perfect? No, of course not. Not by the longest shot. But we need to recognize that the Lord is moving and doing something beautiful. And so if you're new or an old timer, it doesn't matter. I want to invite you to celebrate what God has done in this church. As Paul was celebrating and reminding the Corinthian church what he had done in them. So the first thing we got to do is we got to recognize, you know what? This is awesome. This is beautiful. It may not be perfect. It may not be to our taste all the time, but God is doing something awesome. The second thing comes from verse 14. Listen to this. Paul says, for we are not overextending ourselves as if we had not reached you, since we have come to you with the gospel of Christ. Paul is reminding the Corinthian church that it was he who brought them the gospel. So my first thought was that we need to celebrate what is. The second thought is we need to be grateful for those before us. Paul is saying to the Corinthian church, I have the authority to speak into you because it was I, Paul, who brought you the gospel in the first place. If it wasn't for my church planting initiative, you may not have ever heard the gospel. He's reminding the Corinthian church that although he wasn't there with them at that point in time, to be grateful for the fact that someone had gone before them that had made their church possible. The Corinthian church existed because of Paul's faithfulness. You can imagine that Paul's writing this letter that is quite intense to the Corinthian church, correcting all kinds of behaviors, and people who didn't know the story, didn't know the context, didn't know who Paul was, could go like, what? Who's this Paul guy? Who does he think he is to come at us and challenge us and call us to a different way? We want to follow a different leader. We want to follow this guy over here. They seem to have a better message. And Paul says, no, no, no. The reason I have authority, the reason I can speak to you is because it was I who brought you the gospel in the first place. He needed to remind them where they came from, their roots, their heritage, their story, and that the reason Paul wrote so emphatically wasn't because he was trying to be harsh, but because he was like a spiritual father to them. He deeply and desperately cared about the church. It's so important that we understand where we come from as a church, that we remember the painful lessons, the often painful, not all the lessons have been painful, but many of them have, that we've learned along the way, that we remember the sacrifices that have shaped who we are and how we've come to where we are. You know, maybe for those of you that are in, say, I'll use Waterloo as an example, you're gathering in a house, right? Or UTM, it's like this small growing family that's just reaching out to people. It's easy to maybe you come to it and you're like, man, this thing is just this like small little like house church that kind of came out of nowhere. Maybe it feels like a little bit odd, kind of quirky. I want you to know that it's not there by accident. That whether you are at a larger gathering or a really small gathering, that it is there not by accident, but because of the faithfulness of many, many people that have gone before. That gathering, whether it's 3 people, 30 people, 130 people, is a result of more than a decade of prayer, learnings, growth, and investment from hundreds of people. It's easy to forget that we have a story, that we are a we because of other people's faithfulness. So let me briefly remind us. Our church exists because Dave and Beth Slater, a name we don't talk about too often, but we should honor, took a step in 2006 to start a church at McMaster University. And a few of us, myself included, were crazy enough to join them right at the beginning, before Lyft was even Lyft, to say, let's see people know Jesus. And since 2006, the growth of our church is a result of the faithfulness of hundreds and if not thousands of people who you will likely never meet. That have invested into making sure that we can proclaim the gospel on university campuses. And you are invited to be a part of the story. That one day, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, I hope to be able to share about the faithfulness of what you have been able to invest into people here. Maybe one day you could lead a region, or maybe one day, maybe you're not a leader that sees yourself as leading a region, but maybe you could disciple a future regional director or a tiller. Or maybe you could disciple a new Simple Church leader, and you can be part of the story of what God is doing in our church. When our people invest, when people in our church invest into people, it's sacrificial, it's hard, it's not easy. Just as Paul investing in the Corinthian church, he needed to remind them, guys, I invested into you. That's why I speak. Every person that says hello to you, that invites you for coffee, that welcomes you into their home, that invests in you, listens to you, prays with you, does so because they are part of a story that God has been weaving together for more than 16 years in Live Church to see people know him. But we too, as a church, stand on a foundation that was laid before us. Before Live Church existed, there was a church at McMaster called Church in the John. Its leadership was tragically killed in a car accident, I believe, in the 90s. But I believe they laid the spiritual foundation that we stand on as a church. There was a church at Waterloo called the Embassy in the early 2000s that we borrowed a lot of our strategy from. We exist because of their faithfulness and what they did. What I'm trying to remind us of as a church is that we don't exist just because we've come out of nowhere. This is not random. It's because of the faithfulness of somebody before you. We are here because of the gospel and because of the faithfulness of many people over a long period of time. What's my point? Your simple church, whether you're the leader, just a member, or somebody just checking things out, is not an accident. It's not just a convenient gathering of like-minded people. Every simple church is a result of the purposeful, sacrificial risk from generations of believers. As one trained one, who trained another, who trained another, who trained another, who rose up the leader of that simple church today. We need to be thankful for the leadership that we have, that's taken the risk to serve, to open their lives up. We need to see that what we are part of is not an accident. It's a result of God's faithfulness in our church and the faithfulness of believers to his call. That's why we ask people to listen to the voice of their simple church leaders, not because they're perfect. But because they have sacrificially invested to say, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to love you. Part of being part of a church is to recognize that the leadership that is there, whether it's a simple church leader or even apprentice, is there because they have made a decision to serve. That's what Paul is reminding the Corinthian church of. Hey, when I write to you as the one that writes as a spiritual father. That's why we invite people to not just participate in simple church as a consumable. We're very clear that simple church is not just a Bible study or a small group. A simple church is intended to be an integrated family of believers that live on mission together. And it's important that we're calling the members of our simple church to be a part of something more than just a consumptive weekly rhythm, but rather to see themselves as part of the mission. To see themselves as part of something that is bigger than just themselves and their needs in that moment. And this leads me to my third thought from verse 15. Paul says, we are not boasting beyond measure about other people's labors. On the contrary, we have hope that as your faith increases, our area of ministry will be greatly enlarged. My first thought was celebrate what is. My second thought was that we need to be grateful for those before us. And my third thought is simply that we need to expand our imaginations. We need to expand our imaginations. This letter that Paul is writing, he's saying, it's not about me. It's not about me, Paul. What Paul is doing is he's commissioning the Corinthian church to go and expand their ministry, to go and preach the gospel. Notice that he says here, notice that we have hope that as your faith increases, our area of ministry will be greatly enlarged. In other words, Paul is saying, as the Corinthian church continues to be faithful. As they continue with the gospel missions, they will reach more and more and more people. And Paul's saying, I get to celebrate that with you. Paul's making it clear that this is not the Paul show. That he gets to celebrate with them when they succeed, when they expand their ministry. In other words, Paul is trying to help them see that every person is a participant in the expansive, imaginative, and transformational vision that is the kingdom of God on earth. Paul's inviting the church to see that what started with Paul in Corinth was just the beginning of an ever-expanding reach in ministry. So often, our capacity to imagine what is possible in our church is limited to what we see immediately in front of us. And instead, what we should do is we should learn to see our participation in church through a lens of faith and hope. So often, we're wired to see our involvement in a church or an organization through a lens of cynicism. We see the flaws, we see what isn't. And Paul's saying, guys, what if you had faith and hope that what God started in Corinth, he could continue in new ways and in new places? We need to learn to see our role in the church, not through the lens of our needs, but through the lens of the Great Commission. That Jesus has commissioned us to go into the world and make disciples of all nations. And that job isn't done yet. So we need to continue to expand the territory, expand the areas of ministry, reach new people and new places, because Jesus hasn't been proclaimed to every person yet. So often when we think about, okay, I want to be a part of a church, what we're looking for is a safe place where we can belong. And that's true. Church is a safe place where we can belong. But it's so much more than that. Paul's inviting the Corinthians to see that as much as he has bound them together into a family, he wants them to see that God is not done with them. He wants them to see that the vision is bigger. Let me put it another way. If you're a Christian, the tendency is to look at church as a destination. It's in our language. What church do you go to? Right? What church do you attend? Now, that's problematic because it refers to church as an event, which it's not. It's a family. But think about that. The language. What church do you go to? It's destination-oriented. And so we think of church as a place we arrive at. Let me submit to you that a more biblical vision of the church is to see church as a place that we are sent from. We don't go to church, we are sent from church. So a more appropriate question should be when we are interacting with the world is, what church are you sent from? Not what church do you go to? The church is not to be our destination, but our launching pad. And so often we come to a church looking for with the question of, can this be my destination? What if we were to come to church and ask the question, can this be my launching pad? Can these people and this family, would they send me to fulfill the Great Commission? The job of the church is to fulfill the Great Commission. And so we need to learn to interpret our place in the church from the perspective of fulfilling the Great Commission, expanding the territory, expanding the boundaries. We need to expand our imagination. There's two ways I want to invite us to do this. Number one comes from this. Paul says, on the contrary, we have hope that as your faith increases, our area of ministry will be greatly enlarged. The first way we can expand our ministry or expand our imagination is to see that a win for one is a win for all. Look how beautiful this is. Paul's saying, as the Corinthian church expands its ministry and as Paul's ministry expands it, it doesn't matter where the credit is. It doesn't matter who gets celebrated. From Paul's perspective, it's all a celebration. It's all incredible. This is part of leadership. If we want to be leaders, if you want to be a leader, it's absolutely vital that we learn to see and celebrate the successes in other people without any credit coming to us. Too often, we're looking to expand our own territory as opposed to expanding and celebrating other people's territory. What this means is we need to learn to work as a team. And our church has made so much progress in this regard, to think as one church. So a win for UTM is celebrated at Waterloo. A win at Mohawk is celebrated at Brock. A win at Brock is celebrated at Mac. Every region celebrating every other region. Why? Because we're one family, and an expanding territory in one place should be celebrated by all of us. A person confessing Christ in one place should be celebrated by all of us. Because it's not about who gets the credit, but about seeing the harvest fields come in to know Jesus. So it's first is to learn to not worry about who gets the credit. A win for one is a win for all. The second thing is to see that we all have a role to play. See this in verse 16. Paul says, so that we may preach the gospel to regions beyond you without boasting what has already been done in someone else's ministry. I'm going to read that from verse 15 just so it's clear for all of us. We're not boasting beyond measure about other people's labors. On the contrary, we have the hope that as your faith increases, our area of ministry will be greatly enlarged, so that we may preach the gospel to regions beyond you without boasting about what the Lord has already done in someone else's area of ministry. He's inviting the Corinthian church to see that as the area of ministry expands, they have a role to play. Notice that he says that as their faith increases, Paul's area of ministry is going to expand. Every person has a role to play. So a win for one is a win for all, but at the same time, all of us have a role to play. Paul wants to make sure that the growth of the gospel is through the activation of those he has invested into. He's not comparing himself to other churches' work or other leaders' work. He's saying, I want to grow the area of my ministry by making sure that everyone is participating in the growth of my ministry. Our core value as a church is everyone sent to multiply everything, meaning that every single person is invited to join the process of making disciples who make disciples who make disciples, so that our collective area of gospel influence is expanding, it's growing, so that what the Lord has entrusted to us today is bigger tomorrow. Not so that Live Church can have a bigger name, so that more people can come to know Jesus. It's only possible if every person participates. The church is not a place we come to consume, but a place where every person is equipped and sent out on mission. Now, does this mean that Live Church is the only place that people can do that? Of course not. There's lots of great churches. But our church is committed to sending every person. And sometimes I hear the feedback that, you know, I don't know if I would love this Live Church thing. They're like too ambitious. They want to grow, grow and change the world. The truth is that we are a bold church. We are a church with a vision to see a church on every university and college campus, by telling people about Jesus, discipling them, and sending them to go make disciples somewhere else. Every person. That's our vision. And yes, it's bold. And yes, maybe one day our church will be very big, but it doesn't matter if Live Church is big or small. That's of no consequence. What is of consequence is the area of ministry that the Lord has entrusted to us growing by way of us seeing more people know Jesus. That should be the heart of the church, not just our church, but every church. to have a vision to see what God has entrusted to them grow by equipping and sending disciple makers. And so we invite people, yeah, to dive in with 2 feet, to take up the mantle with us, to move from on the fringes sitting and consuming, or maybe being skeptical, to say, you know what, I want to be a part of making disciples too. I want to go make disciples. And I see that you want to train me to go make disciples, so you know what, train me and send me. I want to be a part of it. I want to be a part of something. I pray that other churches have bold visions too. But I'm not responsible for other churches. I'm just responsible for our church. Paula, one of our board members in Simple Church Leadership, something really beautiful on Leaders Assembly last week. It's if you're not familiar, Leaders Assembly is a weekly YouTube show that we do with people. It's like a private show for people that have covenanted with our church to say, yes, I'm on board with the mission. And Paula highlighted that, you know, in the 10 years that she's been here, a lot has changed. A lot, and a lot will change over the next 10 years that are ahead of us. But one thing that hasn't changed is our commitment to make disciples on university campuses. To see people know Jesus has never changed. I thought that was really beautiful. You know, there are more than 600,000 international students. And we have a 4-year window to reach them with the gospel. We need more people deployed. We don't have enough people, Live Church or the broader church, to say, you know, I'm going to disciple them. I'm going to go out and tell people about Jesus. It is a short, brief window, and we need to step into it urgently. There are 2.1 million post-secondary students in Canada. And of that group, 70% of them are reported as being overwhelmingly lonely. And I ask you, should we not take that territory for the gospel? Like, I hear those numbers, 600,000 international students and 70% of 2.1 million saying, I'm lonely. Should we not take that territory? Why should any student say, I'm alone, when there is a God that loves them? That's wrong. And Jesus has commissioned his church to go to the world to say, hey, would you tell people about me? Would you let people know that I love them, that I care about them? I want a relationship with them. No person should ever say, I'm overwhelmingly lonely. We can and we must take that territory, not aggressively, but compassionately, graciously, kindly, lovingly, in the same manner that Jesus would. That's why we have a relentless call to make disciples. That's why we have a relentless call to go. And that's why I'm making a call to our church again to remind us to invest in people. As Paul invested in the Corinthian church and reminded them to have a bigger vision, would we invest into the people that God has put in our life? To identify someone that, you know what, maybe we wouldn't ordinarily be in relationship with. Maybe we think they're not, you know, for us. Maybe they're too young, they're too old. But see, you know what, I'm going to love that person. I'm going to disciple that person. I'm going to invest in that person and pray that one day the Lord would raise them and send them to go and do likewise for somebody else, so that more people would know the beautiful love of our God. And that's why in verse 17 it says, so let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. We boast not in what Lift Church has accomplished. We boast in the fact that Jesus is moving to draw people to himself, that he's raising and sending an army of disciple makers, yes, in the context of our church, but because he's doing it. And it's beautiful and it's wonderful. And I pray that all of us would see and boast in what the Lord has done. See what the Lord is doing, give thanks for it, and have an imagination for what he could do if we saw more and more and more gospel transformation in our church and on our campuses. And so I'm inviting you, especially if you've kind of just been on the edges today as you head into 2022, would you see what Jesus is doing in our church? And jump in with 2 feet with us. We need more disciple makers. We need more people that are willing to say, Jesus, I will go. And so if that means stepping up to just commit to your simple church, so, you know, I'm just gonna show up, I'm gonna serve. If it means joining a team, if it means saying, I want a simple church apprentice, I don't know what your next step is, but I wanna invite you to be a part of what God is doing in our church so that more people will be made fully alive in the hope of Jesus. Love you guys, let's pray. Jesus, thank you that you invite us to be part of something called the church, and that it's beautiful and it's good and it's wonderful. And Lord, I pray that all of us would see what you are doing in our church, not because we're perfect, not because we've got it right all the time, we totally don't, but Lord, because you have done something beautiful and it's worth celebrating. And Lord, I pray that as we continue to invest in people, invest in disciple making, that Lord, you would raise up a new generation of people that are willing to put up their hands and say, you know what, I'm willing to serve. I'm willing to go. I'm willing to go make disciples. And Lord, I'm excited to see, God, the fruit that comes from people willing to say yes to what you're doing, even in our church, as humble and sometimes as imperfect as we are. We thank you that you are moving. Love you, Lord. Amen. Be blessed, church. Have a great week.